been trying to get over to baptism. And I want to talk about that a little bit on this morning so that we can kind of understand again what has transpired in our lives and what is expected of us when we go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. In the Holiness Church or the Apostolic Faith, it is one of the primary teachings, the baptism that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And why is it so important? Jesus told Nicodemus that except unless a man is born of both what? Water and spirit. He cannot see. First, he can't see. And then the second part, the Lord says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is the rule of God, the rule of righteousness in the life. Now, Jesus uses water and spirit as the two keys that unlock the door into coming up under his rule or his dominion. Now, in Romans chapter number 6, Romans 6 and verse number 1, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, taking advantage of grace. A lot of times you see that. You see people benefit from grace. Grace doesn't cut us off when we should be cut off. Grace lets us keep on living, even when we do things we know we shouldn't do. Grace looks beyond that fault and lets you keep on living. The righteous judgment says, cut them off. But grace says, let them keep living. Adam and Eve even experienced grace. Because the day they ate that fruit, the righteous judgment would have cut them right on off. But grace, in order to prevent from frustrating the plan of God himself, when he said to his goal was to replenish the earth, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. That was his goal. That was his objective. Sin tried to interrupt that objective. But grace allowed the human to keep on existing. And they bared fruit. Adam and Eve had children. Grace allowed them to keep on existing. Just like grace allows us to keep on existing. Many times, the righteous judgment was up over us. It was over us. I mean, it was hovering over us. In other words, we should have been cut right on off. Because we were doing things that we knew Jesus said for us not to do. And Jesus' grace steps in and allows us to keep on existing. Now, we may have the war wounds and the marks and the bruises to show it that we should have died. But the Lord allowed grace to patch us on up and allow grace to put band-aids over us so that when we look back at those scars, they are reminders that Jesus was just in cutting me off, but he let me live on and see another day. So Romans 6 and 1 is so important for us to understanding that concept. As saints, when we come into holiness, you come into the knowledge of Jesus. You don't want to just keep on continuing to let sin have its way in you. You don't want sin to dominate you. One writer says, don't let it rule anymore inside of you. Says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The Lord bring you into church, into holiness, into this knowledge for you to bring a stop to sin. To say to sin, no more will you rule in my life. No more will you guide me. No more will you direct me. No more will I let you let everything about me be centered around you. That's what you're really basically saying when you come into Jesus. People don't understand that when they come into church. They look at church as though it's an opportunity to just fellowship and socialize and all these other many different things. But really, church is here to help you to get up out of that sinful nature. The church is here to help you to overcome that no good thing that is within you. To help you open up your understanding to who Jesus is and the salvation that's in his name. So, next verse says, God forbid. In other words, he's against that. How should we that are what? Dead. Now, that's the question you really should be. You say, well, Scudder, what does this have to do with baptism? That verse number 2 is so important in baptism, because when you go down in that water, that's the goal. For you to bring again an end to sin. You're killing sin. You're telling sin that you don't want it to exist in a dominating position in your life anymore. You know, you got the remnants of it, you know, the after effects of it, or you know, the memories of it. But when you come up out that water, goal is to walk, as according to the scriptures, in the newness of life, not to go back there doing that same stuff that you did before. Jesus is saying that you are supposed to die to sin. What shall we say then? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now that's a beautiful thing Jesus allows the saint to experience in baptism, is a death. Jesus allows us to experience a death in baptism. A death to one life, and a resurrection into another. He allows us to die to that Adamic nature. That Adamic nature doing what? Ruling us. Controlling us. And he allows us to rise with a brand new life. Brand new life like what? Jesus is now leading me. Jesus is now guiding me. Jesus is now directing me. You go over really quick over to the Corinthian letter. Corinthians explains it a little bit even more. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 6 starting at verse number 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
That's the truth. Now that's something that you thank the Lord when he bring you into the church. He give you that knowledge. He give you that understanding to let you know that those that are unrighteous or live in an unrighteous state, you're not going to go back with Jesus. Is that what that verse say? All right, what, read that verse again. That's right. Many people, when they come into holiness, they want to drag their unrighteous ways into it. But the Lord is trying to tell you, I brought you into this way for you to understand that when it comes down to a righteous eternity, a holy eternity, everybody talk about they want to go back with Jesus when he comes. Jesus is holy. Jesus is righteous. And he says, I'm bringing you into the church to open up your understanding that everybody talking about going back with me is not going. Because they don't understand something about me. What don't they understand about you, Jesus? Jesus is holy. He wants nothing to do with sin. He can't stand sin at all. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Grace allows him to make a way of escape for us. Grace allows us to be able to get from out of that sin covering and come over into righteousness. Into a state where we are forgiven or pardoned. But if it was up to a righteous judge, the righteous God, he would have nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us at all. He would have cut us off long time ago. Only reason we are allowed to be here, even in Adam and Eve's day. Only reason Adam and Eve were allowed to be here is because God saw his own body. According to the scripture, God saw his body before he even formed Adam. Scripture said that he formed Adam after the likeness of his body. So God saw his body before he formed Adam. And when he looked at his body was the emblem of love. His body was the emblem of compassion. His body was the emblem of grace. So therefore, when he saw the sinner, he looked at the sinner through his own body. And because he knew he was going to pay redemption's price, he allowed the man to keep on existing, realizing every breath that that man took, he was taking that breath through grace. Because without grace, without mercy, without the love of Jesus, we could not exist. We would not be here if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy. That's the truth. That's why I get sometimes, I try to get that across to you when you're dealing not just with yourselves, but people that you're close to you. You do everything you can do to help them to understand, look, you better stop wasting all of this thing called time. You better stop letting this stuff roll by you real quick and thinking that you're going to be on this earth forever. You're not. You got a day with your name on it. One writer told you to number your days. Number your days. In other words, don't let these days run past you real quick. Don't let these markers that come up in your life just be rolling by as though they're not going to be, that they're going to be here always. Many of you have had loved ones that one year you were saying Happy Father's Day to them. This year you can't say it to them because they're not here in earth no more. Now, if that's true about that loved one, what's true about the next one? What's that? That's true also about you. One of these years is going to be your last year on earth. And you got to make sure that you take advantage of the grace. Let the grace do for you what you can't do for yourself. What can't you do for yourself? You cannot save yourself. One writer said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? That's the truth. Grace allows us to die to sin. Grace reminds us when we come into the church that that the unrighteous are not going to get in. That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. I know you may love your loved ones. You may love your neighbors. You may love your family members. But you got to keep the word of God in front of your face. You got to keep that word in front of you because it reminds you that Jesus is not to be played with. Jesus is to be taken very seriously. Huh? Come on. I don't care how close you are to him, how much they mean to you. When it comes down to Jesus, Jesus has drawn the line in the sand. And he's already told you that this line cannot be crossed. Huh? What line, Lord Jesus? That the unrighteous are not going to get in. Huh? Oh, Lord, but there's so many of them. Don't you pay attention to the numbers. Just worry about your own soul getting saved. One writer says, save yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. These group of people that are not getting closer to Jesus, they're getting further and further away from Jesus. In their practices, in their behaviors, in their attitudes, in their resources, in their developments, in their imaginations, they're getting further and further away from Jesus, saints. That's the truth. Don't you understand this? Don't be fooled. What does that writer say again? Read a little bit more.
That
the unrighteous.
The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's the truth. That sounds like something I should really be putting before people. Putting before my family. You say, well, I ain't got time for all that church. I don't have time to be doing all of that. I'm too busy trying to have fun. Your fun is going to catch up with you. Your fun is going to run out. The clock is going to stop ticking. And when it stops ticking, where will you be at? Huh? Where will you be at? What side of the line will you be on? Well, I know I'm going to go back with Jesus. I don't know what about Jesus you haven't learned. I don't know what about Jesus that is a mystery to you. Because he's already told you that the unrighteous shall not get in. All of this fun that you quote unquote are having is falling up under the category of unrighteous. You say, Elder Scudder, no, it's not. The writer said, all right, let's read a little bit more. Read a little bit more of it.
Seed It says neither fornicators nor idolaters.
That let me know these people are up under the direction of a deceiving spirit.
Right.
That deceiving spirit is Satan himself. Because
yes.
The scripture done told you that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them.
Yes.
Blinded the minds of them that do not do what? Believe.
Yes.
Huh? I know sometimes you go to the store, you walk in the neighborhood, and you seem like the only one that believe in Jesus. I'm trying to encourage you, stay with them. Stay with them and stay faithful to the Lord. Prove that you belong with Jesus. Prove what side of the line you want to be on. Because we're going to all have to come before Jesus. And we all are going to have to come to that point in life. And if we're not where we need to be at, the Lord said, you're not going to get in. I don't care how many prayers they pray for you here on earth. I don't care how many nice things they say about you. I don't care how many videos they play about you. If you are not declared righteous by the blood of Jesus, you are not going to get in, right? That's the truth, saints. You got to be declared righteous by his blood. Huh? And the only way you can be declared righteous, you got to have faith in Jesus. By faith, but it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Jesus. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. See, you got to know and be glad that you know that Jesus is God. You're not out there praying to another God. You're not out there trying to figure out who God is. You realize Jesus Christ is God. It is Jesus that allows me to breathe. It is Jesus that wakes me up every morning. It is Jesus that gives me the activities of my limbs. It is Jesus that opens doors. It is Jesus that closes doors. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from Jesus himself, right? That's the truth. I realize he's not dead. He's alive. I realize the crucifixion could not kill Jesus. That's the truth. It killed that body, but it could not kill Jesus. Huh? I realize all of those thorns, all of that blood that they dropped out, they said, but the life is in the blood. And Jesus gave all of his blood on that cross. But that lets you, that makes you, you're confused. You think Jesus was created. Jesus is the creator. In other words, Jesus is the source of life. So even though you empty the blood out of his body, he still does not die. Huh? Does everybody understand that? Why? Because he's the source of life. Nothing can live unless it comes through Jesus. In other words, the source of life got into that body. After that body stopped breathing, after that body emptied out all of his blood, when a soul wanted to be saved, the source of life got into that body. That body having no blood in it, that blood, that body not having the tools and the resources to breathe and live, the source of life still got back into that body. And when a soul said, I want to live, that body said, this day you'll be with me in paradise, right? After he said that, he said it is finished. He gave up the ghost and that body died, right? But Jesus, he's still alive. Huh? He's still alive. That lets you know he is God. He didn't become God. He is God. He's always been God, right? Don't you limit yourself when you call on that name. When you call on the name of Jesus, you're calling on the Almighty God, right?
Hallelujah.
Almighty God that made your body. Huh? Made your body and is keeping you in the land of the living. Huh? Don't you realize he's the one that calls and you got the answer. He's the only one keeping you in the land of the living. That's the truth. And you got to make it up in your mind. As long as I'm in the land of the living, I'm going to praise him. Huh? Lord, if you let my soul live, I'm going to praise you. Huh? Praise him till it hurts. Praise him till you ain't got no more strength. Praise him till you ain't got no more breath. But as long as you're breathing, you owe Jesus the praise, right? That's the truth. I owe him that.
Yeah.
He would say, why are you doing that? Because he is my God.
Thank you. He is mine.
I'm not out here serving another. Jesus is my God. Not my money, not my home, not my friends, not my family. Jesus is my God. Jesus, I owe Jesus everything. He's the only one that's been giving me all of my life. Even when I could not give myself, Jesus was giving me. Y'all believe that? When you was in your mama's womb, Jesus was giving you. Do y'all understand that? Your mama might have been a drunk. Your mama might have been on drugs. Your mama might not have been able to take care of you like she should have while you were in that fetal position. But the Lord provided for you. He supplied you with all of your needs. And not just then, he kept you from inception. From the day you took your first breath, Jesus was right there, safeguarding you, protecting you from a hand of an enemy that was trying to take your life. He was trying to take your life from day one. He don't want you to live. He doesn't want you to breathe. He doesn't want you to exist. But Jesus was protecting you, even when you didn't even know who he was, right? That's the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
That devil been trying to keep you in an unrighteous state. But the Lord allowed the word of life to find you. The word of life to find you and the word of life to be explained to you in a simple way so that you and all of your challenges, all of your issues could understand. When someone said you had to be born again, you were able to put one and two together. You were able to understand I was born wrong. I wasn't born wrong because I was black. I wasn't born wrong because I was poor. I was born wrong because I was born in sin. I realized in sin did my mother conceive me. All of this horrible stuff that's going on in the world is because people want to ignore the problem. The problem is sin. And the only one that can deal with sin is Jesus, right? That's true. He's the only one that can deal with sin. Can't nobody deal with sin's problems but the Lord Jesus. That's why Jesus laid out the remedy on how to deal with sin. He told that good man, Nicodemus was a good fella. Nicodemus was a good fella. He was educated. He was devoted. He walked sanctified. He lived a sanctified life, but that wasn't good enough for Jesus. Jesus done told you, man, every time I look at you and all your good ways, all I see is sin. Therefore, you need to be born again. Need to be born again how? Born of both water and spirit, right? Jesus, I understand I was born a Jew. I didn't have to try to be a Jew. I was a Jew because my mama and my daddy came together, and that just brought me into the Jewish family. Are you telling me that I need to go back up into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, no. That natural birth is no good. You can go up into your mother's womb 1,000 times. You still gonna come out a sinner 1,000 times. Only way you can get this birth, you got to do it through water and spirit, right? That's the truth. You can be born 1,000 times. You still going to be born a sinner. You got to get the new birth according to the Lord Jesus. That's being born of both what? Water and spirit. Nobody but the devil himself will try to keep you from coming up under the name of Jesus. Fooling around with these titles. Saying, oh no, I'm going to be baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Why is that title so important? Why don't you go by and use the other titles? What other titles? Why don't you use I Am? Why don't you use the Good Shepherd? Why don't you use the Way, the Truth, and the Life? Why don't you use El Shaddai? Why don't you use all of these names? Why don't you use Wonderful or Counselor or the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace? Why are you stuck on Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Because that's what Jesus said. No, if you're going to do what Jesus said, let's use all that he said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You're trying to get baptized when you don't know nothing. You first got to be taught something. What do I need to be taught?
1 and 1 is talking about the same God in Revelation chapter number 1. What did he say in Revelation chapter number 1? I am he that liveth and was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I've got the keys of both hell and death. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning. I am the ending. I am the way to life, right? That's what Jesus says. So when you read Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, God. When you get taught something, you understand God is Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus created the heaven and the earth. How did it come into being, Elder Scudder? He spoke it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. John said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Teach me, Jesus. Him is singular. It's not plural, meaning there's only one. Jesus has always been one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld God's glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. You need to be taught something first. You need to be taught who Jesus is. Jesus is the Father. Jesus said, when you seen me, you seen the Father. I and my Father are one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and you're talking about show you the Father? When you've seen me, this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father, right? He is the image of the invisible God, right? Firstborn of all creatures, right? That's who Jesus is. You need to be taught something, right? Be jumping all down in that water. You don't even know who Jesus is. You need to be taught something first. Go ye therefore and teach all nations first. And then do what? Baptize them out in the name, right? In the name, right? In the name. That's why you thank the Lord you where you are at. Hallelujah. People say, well, where you at? I'm in a holiness church. Jesus. I'm in a church that is called out by his name. Jesus. I'm around a group of people that are called out by his name. Jesus. Whether I call them in the morning, call them in the noonday, call them in the midnight hour, they still going to preach unto me, Jesus. Y'all understand that? When you called out by the name, that's all you know. Even in sickness, that's all I know. Elder Scott, I got an incurable disease. All I know is Jesus. All I know is Jesus. You mean to tell me you don't know no specialist? I know the specialist of the specialist. I know the healer of the healer. His name is Jesus. Well, I called him. Call him some more. I still got the sickness. You got to keep on calling him. Call him till he rained down fire from on high. Just like they did in the days of Elijah. Elijah said, you got to call on the God of all heaven. Call on the God of all earth. Jesus is his name, right? Don't you stop calling him till he rained down fire, right? Don't you stop calling him till he rained down fire. Stop up all of your mess. That's the truth. You keep on calling Jesus till he stop up all of your mess. Till he deal with all of your issues. That's right. Your heart is filled with a lot of tears. Whole lot of crying all in the midnight hour. Got all these problems rocking you this way and that way. Everywhere you turn, you got a problem. You're tired. Your tears are filling up your altar. Only one that can stop up your tears is Jesus. He's a tear remover, isn't he? Hallelujah. Only one that can remove tears is Jesus. Hallelujah. Elder Scott, you don't understand the pain that's in my body. No, I don't. But I do know Jesus. Oh, no, I'm not trying to say that I understand everything you're going through. Because I don't. I don't know your issues just like you don't know mine. But what I do know is Jesus. I know the power that is in that name, Jesus. How do you know, Elder Scudder? Because one day I called Jesus. How did you call him? I forgot about myself. I got down on my knees and I forgot about myself. Self was trying to keep me from Jesus. Self is trying to keep you from life. Self is trying to hinder you from knowing who God is. Jesus is God, right? He is the Almighty God, right? There's nothing too hard for him, right? There's nothing too hard for Jesus, right? Need to learn how to cast all your cares on Jesus. That's the issue. You're trying to hold on to stuff you don't need to be holding on to. Let that stuff go. It ain't worth your soul. It's not worth your life. It's not worth your peace. Let that stuff go, right? Let it go. Realize everything you need is in the name of Jesus. Everything you need is in the name of Jesus. Every way you need made, every door you need open, it's all in the name of Jesus. You say, oh, the devil got a hold of my family. Only one that can make the devil release his hold is Jesus. Y'all believe that? Only one that can make Satan release his hold is the name Jesus. Jesus can cause the light to shine out of darkness. He did it in the beginning. Scripture said the earth was void and darkness moved upon the face of the deep. But Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. If he did it back then, he can do it again. How you know it's gonna? Because he caused the light to shine into my mind. I could not see myself. I was on a road to destruction. I could not see myself. But Jesus said, let there be light, right? He let me see myself in all of my destructive ways. All of my destructive attitudes. All of my destructive choices. I was killing myself, right? But Jesus said, let there be light.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God knows he turned the light bulb on in my mind. He gave me understanding of stuff I didn't even know I could understand. He let you see stuff you never even thought you could see. He let you see a way of living you never thought you could live. It's called the way of holiness. Writer said it's a more excellent way. Meaning it excels above. Lord Jesus, let me get in your name so that I excel above this mess, right? That's true. I get concerned when I see people that are saying that they have been washed by the blood of Jesus. You talking about more earthly stuff than you are about Jesus. Yeah, you talking about more carnal stuff than you are about Jesus. Every time you open up your mouth, you're saying something about the flesh. But what about Jesus? What about the power that's in the name of Jesus? What about what Jesus can do for you? Maybe he ain't done nothing for you yet. Maybe you're still living in the question mark. I encourage you to humble yourself. Humble yourself before who? Before the mighty hand of God. Don't humble yourself before me because I can't do nothing. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, right? And ask the Lord to do it for you. Do it for me, Jesus. Do it for me, Jesus. Whatever it is, do it for me, Jesus. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Let the Lord know, Lord, I can't do this thing by myself. Do it for me, Jesus. Come on, saints. Speak to your problem. Don't be telling everybody else this stuff. Speak to your problem. Go somewhere and talk to it for yourself. Tell it. Look at it in the face. If you got to look in the mirror, look at it in the face. Speak to your problem. What am I going to say? Jesus, do it for me. Jesus, you're the only one that can do it. Lord, I ain't got no power to do this, Lord Jesus. You're the only one that can do it, Jesus, right? And watch the Lord work. Watch the Lord work. You humble yourself, you watch the Lord work. Watch the Lord do for you what you can't do for yourself. That's the truth. I done seen too many people come in this church depressed, sad, down, but they just got a hold of Jesus. Lord done flipped that whole script. Come on, I mean down in the dungeon. I mean down wallowing with the pigs. All in the mud, the muck and the miry clay. But the Lord Jesus himself, right? Reached down his hand. Hand of mercy. Hand of grace. Grabbed him. Grabbed him good. Grabbed him good and put him up on the solid rock. That's right. That's what Jesus do for you. Now, ain't nobody but the devil trying to get you off that rock. Ain't nobody but the devil trying to get you off that rock. He know all the other ground is quicksand. Ain't nothing sure outside of Jesus. All this other stuff is question marks. Man, I don't even know if I'm going to keep my job next week. Y'all understand that? You don't even know if you're going to catch a virus next week. That's a question mark, isn't it? You have no idea, right? All you see around you is uncertainty. People making promises that they cannot fulfill. You ought to get sick of hearing liars. I'm sick of liars talking to me. I don't want to hear nothing a liar got to say. And I realize as long as folk following after Satan, they can't do nothing but speak what Satan speaks. They all are what? Liars. And the truth is not in them. Y'all understand that, saints? They're murderers. They're killers, right? That's why you got to stick with Jesus. I mean, stick with Jesus. Don't you let nobody get between you and Jesus. You better stick with Jesus. That's why Mother Scudder gave you good advice, sister. Lord told you, just get in here anywhere, any means necessary. Get in here, you got to crawl. See, I just got to, if I got to hold my, if you got to take some bandages and wrap your head up, folk may look at you like you crazy, just get in the door. You say, what you going in there? Because Jesus is in there. I'm looking for the healer to touch my body. Jesus is in there, right? I don't know how he going to do it. I don't know when he going to do it, but I just want to be right where I need to be at. So when the wind blows, see, on the day of Pentecost, the wind blew, and they was right there. They got all of that wind. In other words, when God breathed, they were right there, right? When Jesus starts to breathe, you want to be right there, don't you? I want to be right there and get it all in. I want to get it all his breath in. Elder Scudder, you might blow up. Let my body blow up. Just give me all the breath of God himself. Why? Because if I die in this body, how to be absent from the body is to be present with Jesus, right? That's what the word says, saints. Y'all don't praise the Lord so hard. You might have a heart attack. You might explode. But if I'm going to explode, let me die blessing the name of Jesus. I can't think of a better testimony than Brother Willie and their mother. They said that lady got so full of Jesus, she jumped up, and before you know it, she passed right on out. She died right there. Died shouting for Jesus. What better way do you want to leave here? Man, that's a testimony, isn't it? How did you die? I ain't died in my bed. I ain't died in no hospital. Where you die? I died in the church. Praise was so high, I started shouting and rejoicing. I just had a heart attack. Right there, praising the Lord Jesus. Hey, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? I stopped breathing on this side, but the next time I opened up my eyes, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was looking at my maker. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? I can't think of a better way to leave. I definitely don't want to leave no fornicator. Had to write it, I told you, they're not going to get in. No, ye not, that the unrighteous are not going to get in. Don't let them deceive you. Neither what? Fornicators? What does that writer say? Come on, go back over there for me and get the Living Bible. So, because some of them words we might not understand. What is it? Where were y'all at? Y'all, no. Go back in Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Keep going. Be not, in other words, stop letting these liars fool you. Stop letting these liars get into your head. Liars come in many forms. They may be a blood relative, but they're still a liar. Why? Because they are under the prince and the power of this air. That is the devil, right? He is a liar and a deceiver, right? Liars come in many forms, saints. What does the rest of it say? Start the list again. Start over again. Be not deceived. Neither what? Fornicators? Nor idolaters? Of themselves. Ain't that the truth? Yes. Abusers of themselves. Yes. With mankind. In other words, I'm trying to get so pleasurized, you beat me and I'm going to beat you. Yes. Abusers of themselves. Yes. With mankind. Yes. Beating ain't good enough. Let's stick ourselves. Cut ourselves with knives. This ain't nothing new. Y'all understand that? They was doing it in Elijah's day. What were they doing? Cutting themselves, right? Right? Y'all, everybody understand this?
Yeah.
Let me take some hot wax and pour it all over your body. Pour it all over my abusers of themselves with mankind, right? Is that what the book say? See, you trying to satisfy something that can't be satisfied. I'm trying to tell you, your flesh can't be satisfied. It's like a bottomless pit. Oh no, you'll never do something like that. You fooling yourself. You give that devil room to play, you be doing some weird stuff. I mean some weird stuff. Stuff that your little brain ain't even able to fathom and imagine. Y'all don't understand, them devils is out there thinking it up. That's right. What can you do next? And the devil is so keen with it. He let the imaginations come from out of people's heads to be all in your face. So you can't do nothing but you see it, you read it, you hear it. All of these vain imaginations. Stuff that ain't got nothing to do with your soul. Y'all understand that? Now, everything that the people keep putting up in front of you, talking about fun, it ain't got nothing to do with your soul. It has nothing to do with your soul. Soul don't get no joy out of none of that stuff. It may satisfy that flesh, but the soul don't get no joy out of none of that stuff. Go ask the rich man. Rich man started talking to his soul about that barley he had. Say, I got him built up barns. Soul said, I ain't satisfied with no barley. You ate that cheesesteak. That cheesesteak don't do nothing for your soul. You don't realize it's your belly that keep getting big. Your soul is starving. Your soul is starving. It's malnourished. Skin and bones. That's what your soul look like. Skin and bones. Here you 300, 400, 500 pounds, but your soul, skin and bones. Because you're so busy feeding your belly, you're starving your soul. You think your soul is filled up with some eggs and some bacon. No, that's your belly. Your soul needs the word of God. Jesus told you, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? That's what your soul needs. How do you know when your soul is filled? When you leave out of here with some peace. When you leave out of here with some joy. When you leave out of here talking about everything going to be all right. That lets you know your soul got something in it, right? When you talking about, I'm sad, I'm depressed. That's your soul talking. I guess you need to feed your soul. stop eating that food and feed your soul, right? That's the truth. You don't even realize when your soul is hungry. Yeah, you've been eating all that food, that carnal food so long, you think your soul is satisfied. You sit up there, you be patting your stomach. Ooh, I'm so full. All right, that food tastes so good. Your soul is looking at you saying, I'm still hungry. Go back in the aisle. I'm going to go back there and give me some ice cream. Soul said, no, 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 no. Close up the refrigerator. That don't satisfy me. I need that book you refuse to open, right? I need you to bend your old rusty knees, huh? And call on Jesus. Knees ain't touched the floor in years. Huh? And you wonder why your soul is starving. Huh? Your soul is starving. It needs some Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy the soul. That's the truth, saints. Satisfies the soul. He nourishes the soul. He feeds that soul. It's, one writer says it's like bread from heaven. That's what your soul needs. Give us this day. He ain't talking about no bread from wonders. He's talking about the word of God, right? Give us this day our daily bread. I mean that bread that come down from above, right? You need the word of God every day. Huh? You need to feed off of Jesus every day. Why don't we listen to rhythm and blues? Because that's ain't going to take care of your flesh. All them beats, all them lyrics ain't going to do nothing but take care of your flesh. It's going to starve your soul. But you listen to some good Jesus music, it satisfies the soul. It makes the soul think about the goodness of Jesus. I mean some good Jesus music. Huh? Some good Jesus music. Ain't got to be all complex. Just real simple phrases. Simple phrases. Simple phrases you can understand. You just keep on repeating them phrases in your mind. And you be wondering why you be feeling so good. Down in your soul, here you be at your sitting at your seat, be bopping back and forth. And say, you ain't really saying nothing but the same thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on with you? Huh? It's letting you know your soul is being satisfied. Huh? Your soul is being fed. Then that natural man get upset. Start making your head stop by your stomach, start growling. So say, don't you pay no attention to it. Push it down. Leave that old natural man alone, right? That's the truth. Natural man. Phone start ringing. Natural man. Huh? Did you see this? Natural man. Come outside the door. Come over. Come talk to me. Natural man. Huh? Everything to try to take you away from feeding your soul, right? Be in the park. Enjoying the walk with Jesus. Join the walk with Jesus. Join the walk with Jesus. Some walk on down the street. Natural man. Natural man, try to take your mind off of Jesus. Boom, boom, boom. Try to take your mind off of Jesus. Huh? Natural man, right? But you got to do what to the natural? You got to put him on down. Huh? All the things that go along with the natural man. That's what this list is basically telling you. Elder Scudder realized this is the natural man. What is the natural man, Elder Scudder? The fornication. What else? Huh? What else is it? Y'all ain't losing, dude. No reviler. Now, go over in the Living Bible. Look at that list in the Living Bible. Well, these folk have no part in Jesus' kingdom. So you think, say, well, Scott, what you doing with the homosexuals? You don't want them to come to church? Surely, I want anybody that want to be saved to come into the church. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to leave your homosexual tendencies outside the door, right? You're going to have a mind that I'm sick of living like a homosexual, right? Because if I tell you, you can say that way, I'm going against what Jesus said. Jesus said, you cannot get in. Did y'all read that? Yeah. Read that verse again, Sister Mitchell.
It said, those who live immoral lives.
Immoral. In other words, them no good lives. Them cheating lives. No good cheaters. I love their money, love their stuff. Kill you over that stuff, right? Adulterous. Now, why would I tell you it's all right for you to live that kind of way? Jesus told you can't go back with him like that. Keep reading a little bit more. Now, Elder Scudder, why do you keep telling us to pay our tithes? Jesus done told you when you don't pay it, you are a thief and a robber. Right. Did I say it?
No. Okay.
Jesus told you, you a thief, you ain't going to go back with Jesus.
No. Or greedy
people. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Greedy people.
Right.
Pay. In other words, taking more than you need. Huh? You ain't got nobody in the house but you know what you need. You one person, you don't need five loaves of bread. Amen, out of the scud. Huh? You don't need 10 chickens and you only one person. You take what you need. Sufficient. Huh?
Yes.
Well, Scott, we got a dozen donuts. How many are you? One. Take what you need.
Right.
Huh? Hey, no, I'm going to take three or four of them. What you need three or four donuts for?
Right.
It's only one of you. Right?
Yes.
You didn't leave nothing for nobody else.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're greedy. Call it for what it is. You're greedy.
Right.
And you don't even admit you're greedy.
Right.
You don't even, if you look in the mirror, you say, I'm greedy.
Jesus.
How you know you're greedy? Because I'm taking more than I really need. Because I only need what?
One.
Amen, Jesus. I ain't didn't even go there, but I'm glad the Lord let it be said. Because let us know we need to stop our greedy ways. Right? Greed. People say, Elder Scudder, that's what you'd be seeing across the pulpit. People don't want to admit it. When you see them people talking about, give me a little bit more money, they're saying it because they're greedy.
Right.
They're not telling you because the church needs it. Lord will supply the needs for the church. If you let the Lord lead it, he'll take care of his church. You ain't got to ask for a dime. The Lord know how to supply the church with everything you need. But when you hear them people say, we need one more dollar. No, you don't. Everybody in the church need to yell out, you greedy. I bet you they won't do it no more. You greedy. Because the Lord will supply all of our needs.
Right.
You worried about your own pockets. Because you're greedy, right? Call it for what it is. I did not say it. It's in your book. The thieves and the what? The robbers.
The drunkards.
They go slanderers. Slanderers. Talking down on somebody. Huh? What I tell you, we're not faith killers. We are faith builders. If you don't have nothing positive to say, keep your mouth shut. Turn, look the other way. Because you are a slanderer.
Yes. Right. Thank you, Jesus.
You got nothing positive to say. Keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
Elder Scudder, you ain't say nothing. You ain't say nothing sudden since I said praise the Lord. That's all you say. Well, maybe because I don't have anything else to say.
Right.
The Lord told me to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
I don't want to kill their spirit. Huh? Because I'm a what? I'm a faith builder.
Right.
Huh? I'm not a faith killer.
Right.
So sometimes you need to know when to keep your mouth what?
Closed.
Get on out of here real quick. Before you start letting the floodgate open. And you say more than what you need to say. And then once it get out there, you cannot get it back. Slanderers. Right? Is that what the book say? Oh, what else? Yeah. Keep going.
There was a time when some of you were just like that.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, that was you. It was in my resume, right? Thank the Lord I went down in the water in the name of Jesus. Lord just erased my resume. It's like the Lord pushed the delete button. It said, start all over again. Start your resume all over again. Then you may run across different people, may be saying, I remember me when me and you. See, the difference between the me and you
that person's still doing it.
Right.
And you got to let them know, the Lord changed my life. I put that down. I'm not doing that no more. That ain't on my resume anymore. I'm working honestly with my hands. I believe what the Lord say. If a man don't work, he don't eat. I'm working honestly with my fingers, right? That's true. Everybody ain't living that kind of life. They're not living that kind of way. They too busy trying to thieve and rob and scheme and cheat, right? But the Lord done told you in the book, he said, you ain't going to get in living like that. Now, if he's a door that I'm trying to get in, he sure enough can stop me. It ain't like he going to have somebody else at the door. Jesus said, I am the door.
Right.
So if anybody's going to let you in, it's going to be Jesus, right?
That's right.
So you might be able to lie to Michael, slide Michael a 50. Hey, Michael, let me slip over there. Michael may say, all right, go. Jesus said, nah, I ain't going to leave this to nobody. I'm the door.
Right.
You go try to slide Jesus. Jesus said, would you slide me a 54? Because
right.
I need you to kind of see if you can slide me. Jesus said, what is $50 going to do?
Yeah.
Well, name your price, Jesus. I own everything.
Right.
So well, how am I going to name my price?
Right.
You haven't read in my word that says the earth is mine
right.
and the fullness thereof?
Right.
So how you going to slide by on me?
Right.
Maybe I can go around the back. You can't go around the back. I'm there.
Right. He's everywhere.
Huh? Well, maybe if we dig a tunnel, we'll get... I'm there too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if we get in the ship, we're going to go over you. You can't go over me. I'm there.
Right.
Every way you turn, I'm there.
That's right.
And you still got to go through who? Through Jesus.
That's right.
Thank the Lord. The Lord, as the scriptures say, he washed you. Is that what that verse say?
He said there was a time when some of you was just like that, but now your sins are washed away.
And that's the purpose of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
What is it to do with the sin? It's to wash the sin away. Huh?
And you are set apart for God.
That's right. That's what the purpose of baptism is, not just to clean you up from your sin, but to also set you apart for Jesus to be able to do what use you. That's why the Lord told you to die to that nature. Go down in that water and die. Die to that nature. Come up walking how? In the newness. Huh? Come up walking in the newness of life, saints. Get rid of your old ways, your old thoughts, your old behaviors, your old attitudes, your old imaginations. Say to yourself, that has no part in my life anymore. Huh? That's the truth. When you declare that to yourself, you'll be mindful of how you live. You'll be mindful of how you treat your others, and you'll be also mindful of how you treat yourself. Huh? You won't let yourself get involved in mess, knowing when you're trying to keep yourself clean, saints. All right? Church, you got something out of the word. We'll get a little bit more into this on next week. We definitely want